which I feel the Holy Ghost has confirmed for me in prayer. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew 25:14. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey, and then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. What did he do, Brother Latif? He reproduced what the master had given him. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, that thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord again, he said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, that thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with surety. The Bible says in verse 28, and take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. Why do I say an abundance?
Abundance.
But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant unto the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Tonight, just for the next little while, I want to preach to you from this subject. Reproducing what the Master has already given. Reproducing what the Master has already been given. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Anoint these words and anoint my mind. Let us receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated tonight. The very first part of Matthew in the 25th chapter begins to deal with the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, the Bible says, Brother Smith, and 5 of them were foolish. The point being driven home with this very parable is being prepared and being ready.
Yeah, right.
I'll say it again. The parable in its teaching means to be prepared, to be ready, to be on the lookout for the coming of the bridegroom.
Amen.
To be on the lookout for the coming of the Lord. Friend, I'm telling you, with everything that's going on in the news today, I'm looking up towards that eastern sky, and I've prepared my mind and my heart for the coming of the Lord. Praise God. And following that lesson of watchfulness and inward preparation, Jesus Christ Himself, He jumps into another parable where He begins to teach and begins to talk about the necessity of an external work and for man's accountability to God for what man has been given. Hang on with me just for a few moments and we'll be preaching here in a minute. But when God gave you and I the Holy Ghost, friend, He expected you and I to do something with it. When God put the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and on the inside of me, it was just not to simply just get you out of this world and save you from a burning hell. But when God gave you something, He was expecting something in return. I'm telling you, friend, when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, God looks at you as a willing vessel. God looks at you as a tool that He can use to help His kingdom. When God saved you and filled you up with His Spirit, the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you and I is a seed of revival. And it's a seed of revival that our Lord Jesus Christ expects you and I to do something with. Amen. Amen. When He put that Spirit deep down inside of us, there is a mechanism for you and I to reproduce and to disciple and to become a walking, breathing, living revival and to become a soul winner, friend. The Scripture lets us know that we will be judged according to that which we have received. The Bible says in Luke 12:48 that for unto us whomsoever much is given of Him shall be much required. If the Lord gave you an anointing and the Holy Ghost, friend, He has challenged you, He has compelled you, He has charged you to do something with that anointing, with that ability to reach the lost, our ability to go out into this world and save a soul.
Amen.
Praise God. The Master in our text tonight divided His gifts according to His knowledge with each servant's abilities. And after He began to divide these talents out, the Master departs and leaves each and every one of His servants uncontrolled, undirected, to simply use the property that had been given to them the way that it ought to be used. Oh, but friend, you and I, when the Lord gave you and I the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, we do have a blueprint. We do have a map that we can rely on. As Jesus Christ said, to go out into the highways, into the byways, into the hedges, into the streets of our community. We've got some strict instructions, friend, that you and I, we so nonchalantly put to the side because we think that we have reached it. We think that we have conquered it. When the Lord saved us, we thought that that's all that needs to be done. But friend, have you looked out the window of the church lately? That there's a dying city that's on their way to hell. And it needs you and I to have a revelation that you, when you received that gift of the Holy Ghost, it wasn't just a gift and a Spirit of God, but it was a seed of revival that was planted inside of you. And it's going to take tears to water it. It's going to take prayer to irrigate it. And I'm telling you, friend, God is produced five more. To the man that was given two talents, he produced two more. But the man that was given one talent, so small, but yet so powerful. Brother Tabitha, I just know one person. If God has placed that person in your life, that is your talent. That is the person that you need to be praying over and working on. Wow. And this talent, the amount was possibly in this man's mind so small, or perhaps he thought that his master was so rich that it was no coincidence what was done with the one talent. So he had buried it. He had buried this treasure in the ground, and he kept it safe until the Lord's return. Friend, there's a lot of apostolic churches that's been given a God-sent talent, and it's the Holy Ghost, and it's a cedar revival, but so many times we bury that talent in the ground, we bury that anointing, we bury that Holy Ghost revival in that ground, and we're just sitting and waiting on the return of the Lord. But I wonder what would happen if somebody tonight got a revelation that can see the revival. Got to leave up that cedar revival. It's got to be watered. It's got to be cared for. Because if it doesn't get cared for, then sooner or later, it's going to wither away. Friend, this man never exercised his talent. He never let it shine before man. He never let it bring forth fruit until good works. And he did what most people do when they receive the Holy Ghost. He buried in the ground, so it wasn't even useful for himself. How many times you see people that get the Holy Ghost, and man, as soon as they receive it, they're on fire. But just a few short weeks later, something begins to happen. You know what they've done? They buried that Holy Ghost. They buried that talent in the back of their minds, in the back of their memories, in the back of their understanding, because they didn't have a revelation that Jesus Christ gave this to me, not only for to save me, but to do something with it. Praise God. And when the day of reckoning came about, the master, he looked at this one that had been given five talents, and he produced five more. And he said, as the Lord said unto him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, that thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The one that had been given the two talents and produced two more, the same exact reward was given unto the servant. But friend, you've got to listen to me tonight. There is great revelation in the one who hid his talent. Because the servant that had been given the one talent, he did not produce another talent. He simply buried it. And in verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I have reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed." Wicked. But Lord, I thought I was doing a good deed by hiding the Holy Ghost. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own, he said. In verse 28, he says that therefore the talent from him, he removed the talent that was given to this servant, and he said, "Give it unto him which had 10 talents." God said, if you don't want to do something with it, I can replace you and I can give it to somebody that wants to do something for me in my kingdom. Pray, because he said, for unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But for him that have not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye, friend, listen to this. My God. Cast ye the improbable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friend, do you understand this servant, this man, because he was not willing to reproduce what God has given him? It doesn't matter how long you've had it. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how short time ago that God has given it to you. But friend, if you do not reproduce what God has given to you, you're going to be in trouble, friend. With the Lord, because I'm telling you, friend, that there is something that we need to get a revelation of tonight, that I must reproduce. Friend, this man, he was sent into punishment, not for fraud, not for theft, not for immorality or immoral sin, but this man was cast into hell for one reason, and that was a lack of productivity. He was cast into the darkness of hell for a lack of reproducing. Friend, it concerns me when people come to church and they tell you everything that they believe, and they brag about how strong they believe it, but you never hear them talk about how many souls they saved. You never hear them talk about how many Bible studies that they taught. Friend, I promise you, if you do not reproduce, you're going to be in trouble. You know why? Because when God gave you the Holy Ghost, he was saying, you are a revival. You are a soul winner. You're a child of mine, and I placed you where you are in this time in history to cause something to happen, to cause somebody else to receive the Holy Ghost. And if you do not produce, we will be in trouble. The Bible says in Luke 13:6-9, and he spake also this parable: a certain man had a fig tree, and it was planted in his vineyard, and he came, and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, this very fig tree. For the last 3 years I have walked by it, and I have looked upon it, I have breathed breath of life upon it, and for 3 years this vineyard, this fig tree, has not produced. And he said he found none. The very next statement was judgment. Cut it down! Why covereth it to the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well, then that's fine, it bear fruit. But if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Friend, if there's ever one thing that our Savior, Lord and Jesus Christ, cannot stand, it's something that should produce, but it doesn't produce. It doesn't matter how good it looks. It doesn't matter how faithful it is to every service. If it doesn't produce, he said, cut it down. God has placed the seed of revival in each and every one of you that has received the gift of the Holy Ghost. and has been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And friend, what we have got to get an understanding was, and that is tonight, that the world did not give it, so the world cannot take it. It is ours that's been given, sent for a purpose. Hey friend, you say, come on, I don't have a purpose in my life. Why am I here? What am I doing here? Did God feed you with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Okay, you got a purpose. You got a purpose to become a revival. You got a purpose to become a soul winner. You got a purpose. Hey friend, I tell you, if you can drive a bus, that's your purpose. If you can teach a Bible study, that's your purpose. If you can knock some doors, that's your purpose. If you can hand out a bottle of water to somebody that's strung out on the street and invited the church, that's your purpose. Many times we want our purpose to come with a title.
Yeah.
I said so many times because pastor doesn't put a title behind the purpose, we don't think we're equivalent enough to do anything.
That's good. Come on with it.
I know what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I seen a sister this afternoon come up here before church. Man, she grabbed a water hose. She started watering the flowers. And I was in the middle of studying. And I said, she's watering the Bible.
Right.
What do you mean, brother? She's taking upon herself, upon her purpose. Bible says that we were all called to be saints. What is a saint's purpose? To do anything and everything that the kingdom of God requires. Should be ashamed to pick up a broom, pick up a mop, pick up trash. Look, when I come to churches, I'm a part of a church. Until I leave, I see a piece of paper, I pick it up. I'm not trying to impress the pastor. I'm not trying to impress the pastor's wife or the church congregation. But my God, what we need is a reference to the house of God. We're not doing this to please anybody else except Jesus Christ. God gave you this church. We need to take care of it. God gave you the car to drive. God gave you the gas to put into. God, I'm telling you, friend, if we would have that mindset that everything I have is because God gave it to me, we would take better care of what we have. And I hope so. I'm telling you, friend, we have come too far to recline back and just coast to the finish line.
Yeah, right.
Begin to think of a marathon. And in this marathon, they begin to put their runners. And when I found out about a marathon, as I began to study and look into it, they didn't put their best runners first. Excuse me. Since they put their best that they had last on the home stretch. What do you say? I'm saying that we are the best that this apostolic movement has, and I want to live up to what I'm required to do. I want to say it again. I want to live up to my name. I want to live up to being apostolic. I want to live up to providing for the kingdom of God. I want to live up to doing whatever His will is and not my will. I want to live up to Him calling me a holy roller. I want to live up to Him calling me crazy, beyond control. Friend, once you get in and you get a taste of this, you'll understand why we shout, why we run, why we dance, why we come to church on revival nights of Tuesday nights. When we put it at home, cooking supper with the family. You want to know why? Because I'm willing to invest something back into the kingdom of God. I'm willing to put my money, put my time, put my effort, put my strength where my God is. But ye shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. He put that seed of revival in you and in me, and he expects that seed to produce something. Psalm 68:6 says that God set up a solitary in the families, and he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious, the world in the dry land. Our friend, you say, what do you mean, Brother Jeff? I'm telling you, friend, that God did not do it all by himself, but God, Jesus Christ, he put the solitary in the midst of your family. Can I tell you tonight that God wants you to know who you are tonight? God wants you to understand your capability tonight and the power that you have. God wants you to understand that with his people, so that we understand who and what our purpose is.
Right.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
For you to understand, a solitary, it's a diamond or a jewel. God set a diamond or a jewel in the midst of your family when he allowed you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why the next time you ask yourself, why did God save me? Why am I in church? Why am I saved? And my brother's not, and my sister's not, and my mama and my daddy, they're still lost. Why did you save me, God? And you allowed this whole family? Because God, when he looked at you, he looked at a diamond, he looked at a jewel, and he said, I can set the solitary in the midst of your family, and you can become the diamond, you can become the jewel that saves your entire family.
Amen.
Just do it.
Amen.
God will supply and add the knowledge and wisdom and words to say when you walk in front of someone and begin to invite them to the house of God. The Holy Ghost will meet you halfway. But friend, we've got to do our part to unleash this revival, to unleash this end time revival. I believe that we are in the last days. I believe that we are and we'll see the coming of the Lord in this generation. The signs and the times are streaming out. I don't see how we can make it another day without the Lord returning for His bridegroom. I don't see how the Lord can come back without. I'm telling you, friend, I'm having a great revival. I want to make sure, Brother Josh, I want to make sure that I've done my part. I don't want to be cast aside into outer darkness. Friend, I want to make sure that I've invested enough in this heavenly vision. I want to make sure that I've invested enough in the vision that my pastor's got. I want to make sure that I've invested enough prayer, invested enough time, invested enough prayer and fasting and heartache and sweat and tears.
Amen.
Line up in the end of this thing. Thank you, Jesus. And say, thou weak and slothful servant. I don't want to be caught off guard.
Yeah.
Friend, you don't understand. This man had the talent. He had a representation of the Holy Ghost, and he was still cast into hell. Because he was too lazy. I know he's strong tonight. But we need this to awaken us. How do we know we've hit our talent? At least some man come along and tell us. How do we know that we've become in this rut? At least a man come and tell us. Ruts, I believe I heard your pastor say, that it's just a graveyard open on each end. How do you get out of a rut? Get up and get out.
Right.
How do you have revival? Get up and have revival.
Right.
Is that simple, Brother Latif? Exactly. You got the Holy Ghost. You got power. Create an atmosphere where He has to come down.
Yeah. Amen.
When nobody's coming in, go get it.
All right.
We've been without visitors too long. You've been sitting down for too long.
Preach.
Keep that bus crank, that bang crank, get your car crank, and go create a revival.
Amen.
My pastor told me about a year ago, I was gone for about a year, full time, and we had come back and visit for, I think it was Christmas or something. And I was with him for about 2 weeks. He said, Brother Latif, he said, I told a pastor the other day about you. I promise you, if you know me,